Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion of our live three-hour super stream. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax. He is JC Sherbert. I'm holding on for dear life over here, JC.
Gee.
I don't know. It's something about this late. So I always get a late summer cold because, of course, everybody in my house goes back to a school and they all go to different schools. So there's this just mess of, you know, viral and bacterial cocktail that comes home. Actually, I think I got it at the football game last week, because that would have been enough time for incubation, and I was definitely around a whole bunch of people.
Mauled in germs.
Yeah. Gross. Not good. Yeah, I wasn't real happy about it.
I don't really have to do it. I'm glad I don't have to go to Lockport High School football. Even when I did, I would make my wife's, they had like basically handicapped section, first couple of rows. The bleachers in the end zone, I always be like, let's go sit over here because of the cowbells and all that. Because the few times I did go sit in the grandstands, the lady with the cowbell would inevitably sit behind me.
God, yeah, no.
Unbelievable. Thank God I don't have to do that anymore. On Friday nights, I help the four-quarter Friday guys out, so I'm immersed in South Carolina high school football, and that makes me feel a lot better because I know the teams. I don't have to keep asking, where is this at?
Yeah, where?
and nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's insane. It's like I've never lived in a place where, of course, I've never lived outside of the South. Like, Southerners love to know where places are.
Yeah, and where's that?
Where's that at? Well, that's down there in the low country over there. It's kind of near Orangeburg, going toward Orange. You go past Orangeburg, and you go kind of over here. You know, it's out there. We call it the PD region. It's north of Florence. You know, Tennessee. That's in East Tennessee, or that's in West Tennessee, or that's just outside of Nashville. That's up there near Bowling Green, Kentucky, or that's down near Alabama, you know. Georgia, same way. Atlanta, Northeast Georgia, Northwest Georgia, or South Georgia.
Yeah.
Now, some will say Middle Georgia when they talk about Macon, but most of the time, that's the South Georgia.
Yeah, that's South Georgia. Mm-hmm.
South Georgia. You know, in Illinois, where is this? North.
Nah.
But then they never say South. Oh, I think it's downstate. I don't know.
Downstate.
You know, and I'm looking on the map and it's directly due west of Chicagoland out toward Iowa. North. I don't know where these teams are, and frankly, I don't care. But anyway, that's enough about that. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show, the final hour of the 3-hour tour here on ITG. It's Wide Open Wednesday, so what do we do on Wide Open Wednesday, especially when Mad Dog is under the weather?
Yeah, we are into the McKellar Enterprises chat box.
Absolutely. Going to start with Vijack 8423. Welcome in. I wonder if Browse has any 20 personnel in his bag with this room. A little triple option action. I'm pretty sure there's 20 personnel. I think I saw it at Arkansas. Now, sometimes that's like a motion and a receiver back there. I'm pretty sure I saw that. As far as triple option, absolutely. I mean, again, everything's customized year to year. So it's probably in there, but Lenoris may not. I don't know that Lenoris likes the whole, like, I mean, the pure triple option pitch and stuff. But right. I think it's in there. I saw it in Arkansas. Clint says saying we're loaded at running back is based solely on potential. That's why I refuse to believe it until I see it. I don't know about the word loaded. Loaded is a loaded word, my friend.
Yeah.
I think they've got depth. I think they've got options. But I was thinking about it. I think we said the same thing last year. Right? And I think we would have felt that way had they figured out who could go play and had – any kind of offense, but
I think it was usage that let us all down last year, right?
I think Shane Beamer maybe even said that was the deepest they had been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I like this group though. I think just like every other position on the team, there's some maturity there. A lot of guys that are later in their careers.
Yeah.
You know, Jabri Coleman's the youngest, the young pup, and is used to working with Stan Drayton. Like, again, shout out to Chris and Wes. I didn't realize he had been committed to Georgia. I missed that. Yeah. Miss a lot of things these days. Cam wants NFLSU to beat Clemson. I talk to a lot of Gamecocks that don't. It's the dangdest thing. I mean, for that to happen.
I told my wife last night, I was like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pick it, but I don't think it hurt my feelings to see him win that opener.
I mean, look, man, we can all, I think a lot of folks now, some people are never pulling for Clemson. And that's right. Fine. And I'll say this though. I think there's sometimes things transcend rivalries, because when you're talking about things that threaten the integrity of the game, if you don't have that, you don't have a sport. And that's a sport we all love. That's the reason we have rivalries. I think that's why people are so upset about it, except nut job LSU fans who probably, outside of the online fantasy lollipops and sugar plums, demented demon world they exist in online, or on the radio or whatever, outside of that, they're probably secretly like, I don't feel good about this. I don't know what Lane Kiffin's doing. But you know, then their lizard brain takes over, and it's like they just defend LSU to the death.
That's right.
And I'm like, are these guys really going to help you win? I mean, I think all this stuff hurts their chances Saturday night and actually opens the door for Clemson. Clemson hadn't had much controversy this offseason. The quarterback race went down the wire, but you never know. You know, they announced it. They wanted to compete right up to the wire. And, you know, you hadn't heard much about Chad Moore. Hadn't heard much about Clemson this offseason, really.
Yeah, I was watching the local news and old Dabo referring to his quarterback as CV, which is
CV.
I don't know if I'd do that, because, you know, I had to replace quite a few CVs.
Yeah, CV. You don't want to CV joints, man. That's awesome, Phil. Yeah, we need to get you doped up on medicine more often. D. Gainey says, I'd love to see us be able to pick up a third and one when it's needed, be able to line up and pound the rock. Me too, everybody, man. But, you know, I'll say this. There will be a time this year that it just does not happen, and it doesn't matter how good Carolina's O-line is or not. And you know why? Because if you notice, in a lot of games, Carolina's playing the other team. Sometimes the team will be running it quite well, and they'll line up on that fourth and one. Carolina will stop them.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so it goes both ways. Especially in the SEC, all the time it happens. Yeah, you know, you'd be like, this is the best offensive line in the Ultraverse. Then the defensive coordinator happens to call the right stunt or whatever, and the right dive play or whatever they're trying to do, and then the refs, of course, come jogging in, and, you know, replay doesn't really get a clear picture of where to spot the ball. So it's just a horrible spot, you know.
They just, call it short. Like,
I've seen it too much. But consistently getting stuffed on short yardage, which is what happened last year, even like third and two, man. I mean, you know, that third, it, I almost got anxiety when it was third and short last year.
Oh, no, because you're like, well, we got two plays. As you're normally, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you got two to get it. And you're like, oh, my goodness, yeah, but that first play might go back 5 yards.
Somebody jumps off sides. Right, yeah. You know, so I'm with you there. Cam's like, if we had a 240-pound quarterback, picking up 1 yard should be a gimme, but Sheila seemed to not think so. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. Quantrell likes Usmane Chroma, says he's similar to Marcus Lattimore from Florida State. I'll have to check that out, man. Cam agreed, same running style. Okay. D. Gainey says, I haven't been able to confidence in Carolina picking up third and one since Lou Holtz power T formation days. Yeah. Spurrier, like when Marcus was running, they would just give it to Marcus.
Just give it to Marcus.
Or Spurrier's pretty good at running. Like it was third and less than a foot, less than a yard. He would get up, he would just run the quarterback sneak. I'll just go sneak it. You know, mm-hmm. He was good at it. Clint
there
says,
was a not, period there, though, where you're more confident in picking up a third and five with Connor Shaw's legs than you were thirds and shorts, though.
You're like,
oh, he's got this.
Call a pass play, and if the first option's not there, have him run around the edge. Pretty simple play. D. Gainey, or Clint says, not sure how much we'll really know about the team until week three, to be honest. I think in terms of how they're going to stack up with the rest of the SEC, you're right. There's going to be signs, though. You can actually get a lot from this as far as individual players and, you know, cohesiveness of the offense. And what you can learn is if they're serious problem areas, if they struggle. Like, and I'm not talking about struggle at some point in the game, but overall, you look back on it and be like, man, Kit gave Kit and Towson gave them all they wanted. That could be a problem.
Right.
D. Gainey says the offense went like 12 games without scoring over 21 points with the skill players Carolina had. Shula was lost. He was. And that's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. Depression says makes me sad. Tree didn't live up to expectations. Gamecock depression, sad. Me too, man, because those were big recruits and Tree was a good guy and
yeah, there was
a good kid and had been through a lot. But man, you just can't do what he did, you know, and as far as, and it's not about him as a person, it's the play on the field. That Ole Miss game was so bad.
It was terrible.
They put a true freshman out there the rest of the way and got better. I don't think he ever played again.
So that's not what you want to put on tape. Where is he this year?
Nebraska with Mark Satterfield.
Oh, good. Lonnie Teasley,
you know where Lonnie, I don't. I guess this gets lost on people. Lonnie Teasley was Marcus Satterfield's O-line coach at Tennessee Tech. That's our assistant O-line coach or something. That's how he kind of got to Carolina. So anyway, they're reunited and it feels so good. Great recruiter Lonnie Teasley was, but I think once they got here, it's crazy. And D. Gainey, yes, Mario Anderson transferred to Memphis. I actually think 24 could have used Mario Anderson.
Yeah.
When Rocket was out. I mean, that, yeah. So who knows if he'd have gotten to carry the ball? I mean, because, you know, it seemed like unless it was obvious, the previous running backs coaches could not figure that out. Everybody loves the power T. Clint's not going to get excited about preseason talk. Don't blame me, Clint. Mad respect for holding out.
Mm-hmm.
Krager has Dowdle as his fourth back on his fantasy team. Luke RJ quotes the water boy, "You're going to lose all your silly foosball games." Quantrell says, "Saw someone check on Twitter showcase the self checkout at Williams Bryce and the beer they scam was $16." Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're going to make bang. And so there's a money reason why they do that. It's also, in some ways, a deterrent. Although, one of the drunkest human beings I've ever seen was going into the Missouri game in 24. And just something pretty negative happened with him and a golf cart driver. That dude was in his 60s and well-dressed. I mean, he looked, clearly he had money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and he could afford plenty of $16 beers.
The $16 beer people, they're probably getting the most hammered. So Krager's like, it better have bourbon in it.
Well, they Clint do have the pre-mixed cocktails this year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like they're all in on the alcohol.
Yeah, hey, let's go.
Someone will, that's probably a sign that we're not going to be very good this year, Phil. Surfside blueberry vodka. Yeah, you know, Gamecock depression. It's he's talking about finding tickets at the stadium at high noon. The problem with that is the transfers now. Like, I used to love to get tickets before the game, right? It's usually what I'd do. Just come with cash and rock and roll. Now, I don't trust some of these folks that sell tickets, like, to send me a non-fake ticket to my phone.
Yeah.
And I don't really want them to have my phone number either. You know, not that people that scalp tickets are bad people. Most of them are not. I mean, but they're also, you know, criminals get smart these days and they'll go pose as legit ticket sellers. Right. It's just that. And I guess I don't know. It's just yet another way that Ticketmaster and everybody else gets to profit multiple times off tickets, but it's hard to sell them.
I know. Yeah.
So Clint says, why is this commercial so loud? We got to fix that.
Well, we did just get the September batch. So hopefully those are
the volume
or the less.
Oh, man. So Quantrell's going to channel his inner Lance Latte. Go and blast it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You just got to get through the gate. Once you're inside, you're good.
Yeah. Clint doesn't even drink.
Clint's not a drinker, right?
$3 for a bottle of cheer wine. Oh, man. Lemony Snicket says, Kent State's going to have a tougher time than Clemson going into hostile territory, in my opinion.
I should hope so.
I hope so, too, because of the heat.
Yeah.
Oh, he follows up. The Ohio boys just don't know. Yeah, it's all Ohio, New Jersey, New York, Illinois. Very few. Smitty, Deputy Smitty, not confused with Smitty, who was on earlier. Nick Harbor, he says he's calling it 1,000 yards, and then Matt Fuller could go over 1,000. He says, might see two.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
V-Jack says five guys over in the 500, 700 range.
Which is probably more realistic with the depth at each position group. Like that, I see that's what I kind of envision for the wide receivers is, you know, five guys in that 500 to 700 range.
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah.
One of the most, and a lot of people disagree with me on this. A lot of folks are like, you need that wide receiver one. Okay. Well, I mean, if you look and see the off-season hype last year, I'll take Alabama, for example. So they're legit WR1 and Ryan Williams, right? Was he really their wide receiver one? It was Bernard, their wide receiver. Bernard was the man in that one. You know, and so I think some of the best receiving corps at Carolina have been when they've had more than one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about the whole receiver, I mean, like, so what if all those years Alshon Jeffery was here? What if Alshon Jeffery got hurt? They were screwed. Yes. Completely screwed.
Yeah. To the tight ends the whole game.
And he had Bruce Ellington. He had Ace Sanders was young. I mean, you know, in 2010, remember how big Torrey Gurley was as that number two option. But, you know, the group that had Bruce Ellington and Ace Sanders and Nick Jones, a young Shaq. I mean, you know, that group. Farrow Cooper came along in 2013. So recently Brian Edwards, Shai Smith, and Debo Samuel at the same time was formidable. That was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
You think in 22, yes, Juice Wells was a guy, but you know, you also had Josh Van who was playing really well. Jalen Brooks came on during that point. I mean, so I think you need more than one. Mastad said, isn't this his third OC in 3 years? When has that ever worked? Who are we talking about?
Sellers?
Oh, for a player? Probably usually doesn't even happen.
Yeah, it's rare, but.
Who's been in the portal three times?
Right.
Menza. Right? Yeah, Darian Menza for Miami is supposed to be, and I think he will be a stud this year. And so he's had, 3 and 3 years. Whoever was it?
Trinidad Chambliss as well, you know, Ferris State, and then Ole Miss, and then
two this year, Trinidad Chambliss. So that's,
I think different ways to arrive at that.
Yes. Doc says Sellers' elusiveness disappeared last season. Shula broke him. Let's hope Browse has him back to himself. I can't see it not happening that way.
Yeah.
Fourth, wasn't he a true freshman when Satterfield was here? Who are we talking about?
Sellers, but then he corrected himself. He was like, no.
Because
it was 2 years of Dowell.
Yes, Dowell, and then Shula, and then whatever. But no, Mastad, to answer your question, it's usually not good. That's why Mike Shula got the job. So, I don't know. Mastad said, Sellers has an amazing outlook. Three OCs in 3 years. Take South Carolina off the front of the jersey, and we're trashing that team. Actually, no, you're not. I don't think so.
I think since we've
if you took South Carolina off the jersey and looked at the players, including Lenora Sellers, they would probably be a little bit higher national expectations.
There might be more hype, right?
Especially in the portal era.
You know? Yeah.
Especially in the portal era.
Well, if he had transferred, he'd have been the talk of the town.
Yeah. I mean, you put him someplace else. Nobody's talking about three coordinators in 3 years. John Edwards says, got to start faster and get off to better starts. You're going to eat something before you get something to eat. Anyway. Steal games you aren't supposed to win. I think that for those things happen. Usually defensive score, special teams, you make something happen, puts you in a good field position and all that good stuff. Mastad said the Virginia game, Tech game was horrible, good in spots, but sloppiest game. Team looked poorly coached. That, well, for offense, is the best game of the year. That's and keep in mind, Mastad, the offense is just one phase of the game. South Carolina's defense to not know what to expect and to hold that team to, you know, they had some pretty good weapons to hold them out of the end zone. You know, two of their points is on a safety. So that's on the offense. Right. Special teams changed the game. I think, and I think that's been the case with almost every Beamer opener. So the offense looked terrible and poorly coached, but the defense and special teams did not. Gamecock Garrett only goes to Ohio because he married into an Ohio family.
It happens.
He also says Harbor calling first touchdown, and DJ Black could also be the guy. Deputy Smitty says he's one of his daughters is named Riley, just like JB.
Oh,
there you go. Kilo Grizzle, daughter's also named Riley. Gamecock Garrett also has a daughter named Riley. It's awesome.
Big Inside Out fans.
So, David says, which games are reserved for storming the field at Willie B, in your opinion?
Georgia. And that's only if it means everything it could mean.
Yeah. I think top 10 wins, rivalry wins. And then, I mean, not every rivalry win, but you know. And I thought when they stormed the field, when they broke the long losing streak, and it just kind of depends on the moment. But top 10 wins usually, I don't know. And it's, you know, it's who knows? Cameron says JC recovered from his terrible Tuesday schnauz slicing incident. Yeah. I cut my nose somehow during break yesterday, Cam and guys, and I was gushing blood.
I saw the camera turn off. I'm like, what? Something happened. I hope he's okay. And then it came back on and you had all this rust colored stuff on your shirt. I'm like, oh my God,
it was awful. Jay Frew, how'd I end up in Chicagoland? Wife.
That's right.
Family. So, Quantrez, let's get back to South Carolina. I don't know if there's going to be any room left. I feel that.
Yeah.
Kagame says, will the first play of the year be Sellers ripping the seam to Harvard for 75 yards? Don't you have to start the season like that? I think it'll be, all right, my prediction, I'm predicting the first play. I think it'll be a RPO mixed play. It just depends on the defense. Right. Lines up.
Yeah.
Defense lines up a certain way, pass, a certain way, run. So,
who do you got for the first touchdown?
First touchdown, Sellers. John Edwards says, we've heard depth before, then we don't. Well, I don't really care what you think you've heard.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody gives a flip what you've heard. Right. I've heard this before, and then they didn't. You're not qualified to determine anything about depth on a football team. All you are is looking at the results like you normally do. And then when they hurt your little feelings, you come back and want to blame the professionals that analyze it. And look, man, depth is depth. That means players can get in and play and not get you beat. It doesn't mean, you know, there was depth at running back. This fires me up.
Yeah,
on the 2011 team. Okay. Now, in your mind, even though Brandon Wilds got in there and was serviceable and did some big things, you know, in your mind, that means depth because you're attached to the outcome. You know, that's all you care about. But there is a drop off from Marcus Lattimore to Brandon Wilds. Obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, so I am over. We've heard this before. We've heard that before. Well, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this team. And if name one year where depth, having depth in a position means you're not going to have any drop off and you're going to be loaded across the board. That's what I was explaining earlier with Clint's comment. Loaded is different than depth.
Right.
Loaded means you don't worry about depth, right? All of them are great.
You were loaded at wide receiver last year.
Yeah, yeah. Just to explain this, a lack of depth and really a lack of players, period, would be the 2023 running.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Trying to explain this to we've heard that before. Oh, I love you, John Edward. Where's Bruin at? Is he in the chat box?
There is Bruin. Well, Bruin will be in our chat box, and John Edward will be in the other chat box. So they are, they can't see each other anyway. If you keep up with the YouTube drama.
Yeah. Gamecock Depression says Sellers has fumbling issues. Adding the option might not help that issue. Well, they've had the option in the last 2 years. Remember the play against Bama where he pitched it out to Fuller? I don't think Lenore Sellers had fumbling issues last year.
Not like
he did in 24. Yeah, 24 was bad.
That was rough.
24 was an issue. Last year he had the unfortunate fumble against Bama, but I'm convinced the guy thought he was down. It was one of those plays where you're just on top of somebody. You weren't really down. Kind of a freak play, but so I don't think depression. Take this off your list of things to be depressed about, because I don't think Lenore's. I don't think Lenore's last season had fumbling issues. Okay, I don't want to jinx him for this year. Eric says, "Are y'all doing the pick'em this season? Are we doing the Fab Five challenge?"
We are doing the Fab Five.
All right,
in some iteration.
Download the Chief Sports app to get in on that, and we'll be back to wrap up Wide Open Wednesday after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a Wide Open Wednesday. Happy to see everybody in the chat box. Keep diving in. Deep dive.
Matt asks, is 1-1 beer to water ratio enough? We need to ask Mike Yuba. He's the mix in the water.
He is a mix in the water guy. I think that's a pretty good. I think that's
stay hydrated, man.
Yeah,
that's I remember. Good. What was the most? All right, so 2000 Georgia game, that was a big win. Speaking of storming the field, that was a good weekend too, man. I had a blast at that tailgate, and for one of the very few times, the girls that were with us had. Mixed up, I guess they call it PJ. You know, the stuff sorority chicks mix all that fruit and Kool-Aid and Everclear. And I drank my share of it. And, you know, I think I had some chicken at the tailgate or whatever. Went in the hot stadium that whole day. And as crazy as that celebration was, and as awesome as it was. And I just started dating my first wife too. So it's kind of new. So you're kind of like there, right? I had to go back home and go to bed. I crashed at like 6 o'clock that
night. Right.
So, and I did not mix in a water. That's my point. So, Matt, good luck to you, my friend. Deputy Smitty points out they have a much better running backs coach this season. I expect those to be productive. Stan will get the best out of them. Yeah, I agree. Bruin is soundly rejecting Clemson winning. LSU by 90. So...
you know, it may be so. It just I see John a wide range of outcomes available for that game.
John Edward. Yeah. John Edward says, I'm going to pull for Clemson this one time. Just this one time. You can ask me
just
about
this one time. Just this one
time. Like the Godfather. Don't ask me about my business, Kate. Ask me about my business. And then he just lies. Spurrier said, Craig said Spurrier had some good coaches, but he had a few stinkers too. He did. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
They all have, you know, there's never any perfect staff.
Not every staff is a hit.
Yeah. Luke says, if Dabo beat Kiffin at LSU, that would mean Clemson's back to being really good. I don't want to ever see that again. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't think it means that.
Whenever in college football, it's hype over substance. And if you listen to Lane Kiffin and kind of the word out of Baton Rouge, there's a lot of talk about, hey, we're probably a year away. We need more talent. They're starting a bunch of freshmen on their defensive line. Go look at their depth chart. You know, Sam Levitt, good year 2 years ago, kind of a down year last year when you don't have Cam Scataboo in the backfield. It's down there. That does create some magic. But, you know, there's a lot of transition on that LSU roster. Then you throw in the fact that you're not hiding them from this pro player stuff that's been going on.
Right. Yeah.
And he didn't inherit like this great culture from Brian Kelly either. Right. I mean, a lot of new. Clemson's just kind of been under the radar. I mean, so I don't know what that would mean, Luke. Nobody, you know, those years where Clemson was best team in the country, second best team in the country, and Carolina was most decidedly not. Those were boring years in the rivalry.
Yeah.
I think it had a long-term effect on the rivalry. It's just like, eh. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cockaboose Conductor says, well, I don't matter. It doesn't matter who you root for in Baton Rouge. LSU is going to maul the Taters. Rookie quarterback first start Saturday at LSU. LSU's ready to smack somebody around after all this hate. Maybe if the players care, or are the mercenaries that they bought from the portal and the freshmen that they bought from high school, are they kind of worried and going, hey, this guy's bringing in guys, take my job, take my money.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, from the NFL. I don't know. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about that game. He disagrees. He doesn't think Clemson's got a shot. He said Lane Kiffin, with controversy and things swirling, he's usually at his best. And if you think about it too, think about Ole Miss last year, his final game. They go to Mississippi State. If they're not focused and locked in, Mississippi State probably gives them a better game than they did. Mississippi State played well in that game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was just better. They just handled their business. So maybe there's something to that. Clint says, I think Matthew Smiley was a head scratcher of a hire. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what.
We'll see.
I mean, there was not much available. Pat DeMarco likes him. Pat DeMarco played for him. So you got that to go on. So, yeah, Doc, thoughts and prayers up to you for your 10-year anniversary of losing your son too, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's awful.
Jay Frew says, I don't cheer for Clemson. Normally cheer for the SEC, but if they beat LSU, I won't be upset. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of – I'm indifferent, really, about this game. Just
– Quantrell does not want Tony Elliott to get the Clemson job if Dabo leaves.
I think Tony Elliott's on to bigger things than little old Clemson.
That's his alma mater.
Yeah.
Well, you Clemson man, it gets in your blood. Matt says light beers are mostly water. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, see, yeah.
Roger mentioned this earlier, but the Woodruff kicker kicked a 48-yard field goal, new school record. Not surprising, because Willie Varner did not believe in field goals.
Yeah.
So. Chaz Snyder says, if you almost got anxiety on third and short, at least you weren't very anxious last year.
No. Problems. Not after the procedural penalty.
Nah, you can count on the center to that up. Pimp on a Blimp's going to be on the boat Saturday listening to the game. I want your life. I
want your life.
Remember at Varsity Blues, I don't want your life. Pimp on a Blimp, I want your life. So, McJunkin mentions that makes sense to pull for Clemson, play them and not LSU. Well, Clemson ranked high when we smash them.
Yeah.
There may be an SEC tiebreaker about college football playoff rankings, though, that come into play with that. I don't know.
Yes, they really. So, might as well incorporate it. You know, they're not watching anyway.
John Edward has a fantasy football draft Saturday at 6. I think the game will be over by then.
Yes. So, I have one Sunday at 7.
Oh, good for you, Phil.
Yeah, I'm ready.
An evil bougie says, even the shittiest beer tastes like champagne when you're at Williams Price with your best friends. All.
That's right.
Lance follows with win or lose, we booze. Dimitri says, JC, one of the games not being talked about, it's the Ole Miss Louisville game. I think that's going to be a battle of the backfields. Yeah, they're both good, too. Yeah. And look, man, Ole Miss has a presence in Nashville for sure. It's not that bad of a drive up from most points in Mississippi. They'll have a big crowd there. The expectations are rightfully high.
That's a neutral site game?
Yeah. It's at what was a long time ago the Adelphi Coliseum. Now it's Nissan Field. But Louisville could win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, Louisville was a good team last year, but they had some shortcomings. For some reason, they couldn't throw the ball vertically. Like, they didn't recruit enough vertical threats. I'm pretty sure they'll fix that, or Jeff Brohm will fix that. He's a heck of a coach. You've got Ole Miss with a lot of, you know, I think most people around Oxford are just circling week three and ignoring this one. Because there's so much venom. I mean, you talk about, like, people behaving badly. Ole Miss and LSU. And it's because of the actions of one another, too.
Right.
They haven't drug anybody else into this. So that's been a distraction, too. And look, it's Pete Golding's team now. It's not Lane Kiffin's team that Pete Golding took the reins and did. It's his offseason. You know, Chris Clark earlier today talking about the hire has to produce. I think John David Baker's a heck of an OC. You know, I know he's kind of the same system Browse and everybody runs. But Lane Kiffin's not there. Mm-hmm. Neither is Charlie Weiss Jr., who kind of was his right-hand man. They're not there. You know, and I heard another thing the other day. It's like they were talking about all the players Ole Miss has. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, in the offensive line. Eh, I don't know. They lost some guys, but they just skip right over that. I didn't think Ole Miss was a dominant offensive line last year.
No.
Still got to protect. Oh, Bobby at the Belt Bowl got livid or got scalped, got taken on a scalp ticket at the Belt Bowl. Oh, no. Yeah. This takes the fun out of it. But I'm with you, Demetric, on that Louisville Ole Miss game. Lance is blasted by 9 a.m.
Hey, what are you going to do with the 12:45 kickoff?
Get that. What Cockwheat's grandfather used to do, and I love this too, because there are some people that get mad, or not get mad, but that make it a point not to sell it to fans of other teams.
Oh, right, yeah,
I'm there for it. You know, I mean, it's kind of, you know, you're sitting there and Clemson people, you know, we got Clemson people in the club.
Oh, section. The rivalry game, yeah, is the worst.
People know each other. It's a. But if we had an extra ticket in the 90s, my grandfather wouldn't sell it outside unless the buyer passed his impromptu Gamecock football quiz. I love that so much.
That's so good.
I love that. Jan says, with the renovations at Willie B, hopefully the ghost of Doo-Doo Ice has been rectified. John Edwards says, Peak probably back next week. I'm assuming you mean next week. I don't know. Maybe. I can't rule it out. Unlikely, maybe. I don't know.
I see the rush.
Yeah, Cockaboose Conductor talks about Demir Byrd and Pharaoh Cooper. Pharaoh Cooper, absolutely. John says, latest on Peak and Stewart. I think we'll see. We'll just see. Okay. We'll just see. TC says,
not playing this week.
It has not worked out for Jackson Arnold. Yeah, Jackson Arnold was it was disappointing they lost, but UNLV, but he actually played okay.
Yeah.
UNLV
in that and our pick them too.
So the one Retina it has the right idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to get blasted before we leave the house Saturday, so I can't feel the heat.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good move. Lance isn't even working Friday. Got to get the lattes primed up the liver. Retina responds, definitely got to prime the liver, microdose all week, hit it hard Friday, go full blast Saturday morning. I wish I had time to prime the liver.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd be out like a light because I have not been priming the liver very much at all this summer.
Yeah. The one TC's is thankful we're not opening with Miami. I think it's a good year not to be. Yeah, I wouldn't have, this team, I think I've been saying they had no chance to win, but. I think it's good. Better. It's good to kind of get you with all the new players and stuff, and it gets everybody feeling good. And you know, you don't take an L the first week. Everybody's like, rah, 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 rah. Cockaboo says, how about we quit storming the field because we're a self-respecting SEC team and expect to win? Now, look, they stormed, other SEC schools stormed the field.
Yeah. Even the respectable ones.
Even the respectable. So, Blake's only in the chat box with only J-E-K. I have no idea. JC went full Perez Hilton yesterday. Tim says, we'll start winning consistently when we stop playing that dun, 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 dun. Every time the team has the ball, second down. All right, so I got a question about the band, the Mighty Sound of the Southeast. At some point, did the band director, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the band director make the call and not tell anybody to slow the fight song down, step to the rear, by like a half beat? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Because, like, you know, step to the... To me, it seems like it's really slower and methodical now. And I don't like the way... I like the upbeat one better, the show tune.
Yeah, play it fast. Yeah.
It's not supposed to be a majestic college football traditional march, John Philip Sousa-esque. It's supposed to be kind of a jazz, you know. I mean, yeah, that's how it was. But maybe I'm crazy. Somebody tell me.
I'll have to listen for it this weekend. See what's up.
Liberty Snicket says, I loved your take on the primetime game this Saturday. Thank you. You nailed it on 107.5. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Liberty Snickets. Thank you, Liberty Snickets. And he also says, if you told me J.E.K. was drowning, I would not lend a hand because I've seen that face before, my friend, but I'll know if you know who I am. So some people have Mazio. Cameron has Mazio for the first touchdown. That's good.
I don't think that's a bad pick. I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
Clint put J.K. on ignore a long time ago. Jeff has an interesting take. Kari Swain, first touchdown of the year.
I almost said that just to be kind of, you know, a bit playful with it. But, yeah. I would lean more towards Peyton Williams.
Interesting. The one retina says, do we think Patterson's the kickoff returner? I'd be surprised if it were him. I think it'll be Nick Harbor again, but yeah. I don't have confirmation about that. So it's funny because I'm a troll and J.E.K. has me blocked. Trolls blocking trolls. I love you, bro. Don't forget to touch some grass. Liberty Snickets. I like this. Takes a special level of mental illness, but it's possible.
And I will keep up with the chat box and Chief Club members on the Fab Five if everybody plays. So long as I can recognize who you are, then we're good. So reach out to me via the app. And just be like, hey, Phil, this is my email. Look for me.
Meredith missed the special teams talk. It was a little more subdued this year.
Yeah, we kind of got it out of our
system. Because it's actually, I'm kind of concerned about the kicking
games. I know, right? Yeah, it is the one thing that we do have a concern.
Liberty Snicket says, LOL, JC's twisted at the tailgate. I've had a few tailgates in my life.
That's right.
Gary says, even though we are confident in our defense, is there a reason to worry about them being paired with a fast-tempo offense this year? I think they may give up more points just because you see it, you know, when you speed the offense up. Coaches, I've never kind of like dug into why. Coaches say it's because more plays in the game. They play more plays. So
my question is like, does Coach White feel like he's been able to adequately prepare for teams that aren't moving at the up-tempo speed with this group?
I think that's a benefit of it. And I think it's, look, man, if I'm a D coordinator, I want to win games. Right. And I want to be able to call whatever the hell I want to call, like, and use my guts. And Clayton White's got pretty good calls in it. And if your offense isn't scoring points, your defense gets a little more conservative because you can't risk giving up a touchdown. You lose the game.
Right.
Right. And so, my understanding is Clayton White was pretty thrilled they were going to Kendall Briles. So, Gamecock 346 says, whoever hates the show or anyone on the show is a miserable human being and just needs to leave and stay away. Thank you, Gamecock. Look, I don't care if people hate the show, because there's shows you can't listen to that are actually good and renowned and respected.
Right.
It's a personal thing. It's like some people love liver. I can't stand it. Some people hate tomatoes. I love tomatoes. Some people don't like mayonnaise. I like mayonnaise. You know, a friend of mine doesn't like any condiments at all. They make him sick.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's a consumer choice. It's an entertainment choice. From our perspective, as long as our numbers are there, you know, you get a more than your share. Now you don't want to be hated universally, yeah, singing to the wind. I don't care anything about that. The personal stuff and then the lies that come out about things.
Oh, yeah.
When people are just trying to attack, and I mean, that's childish stuff. You know, I don't get it. So there's two chat boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't this the case on Games World Gamecock Central?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so anytime Chris and Wes are on, there will be two chat boxes going. So you may find yourself in the Gamecock Central chat box with John Edwards. So if that's your vibe, go right on over there.
JG says running back's the one position where I feel like you don't have to have a proven dude. Obviously, it helps though. Yeah, and you know, sometimes guys are not proven, and then they are.
Yeah,
you're right. You know, it's coming back. It's helpful to have a back. I think like Nate Frazier at Georgia. Nate Frazier, I think he was a 5-star guy, high 4-star. Probably hadn't played like it. Good back. Mm-hmm. Not like what Georgia sometimes has. But, you know, I'd like that. You know, if I'm Georgia, I'm happy he's back, because this may be the year he takes that next step. So.
Yeah. I don't think you have to have a bell cow, though, right? Like, this is one thing I disagree with Mike on, in that I think that in the college game, it still lends itself well to being able to have two quality running backs and not have to just lean on one guy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, will the stadium renovations make it louder? Possibly.
Oh,
McJunkin says LSU's 8-4, 9-3 at best. Dimitri, what backfield, Ole Miss or Louisville? I'll go with Ole Miss still, but I don't know. Louisville's back. Who's Ole Miss's backup running? Because Louisville's got a second back that's pretty good. Ethan will see the B team in the second half. This is hilarious, Elijah. I'll never get over the guy standing next to me at the trough commenting about how much you like my watch.
Nice watch, man.
I mean, what's crazy is if you were an alien or didn't know any better, but you knew the English language and all the slang, and you just like got dropped into Williams-Rice Stadium and you looked at the trough and the bathroom, walked right in the bathroom with the trough, and like, how about them cocks? It's perfectly normal to all of us, but to someone that doesn't know any better,
might get to thinking some things. Yeah, I got to thinking.
Or you're standing there and you don't catch the game.
Yeah, right.
And then outside the bathroom, and everybody in unison goes, Cox!
Bathroom full of guys yelling Cox.
And the trough. Louisville has a lot to replace offensively, TC said. Yeah, I think a quarterback they got last year. They got a good quarterback in there.
So I give the coaching advantage to Louisville there, and I think that kind of plays into a game one. I've just about talked myself picking Louisville into that one, too.
Luke says, thoughts about ITG being live on the Gamecock Central YouTube page? No thoughts.
No, we're all friends.
We're all the same part of the same. ITG's separate. I mean, the shows and stuff are separate, but we're in partnership with them. And they are going to be on ours, too, and all that good stuff. Cameron says it puzzle the kicker's not Belenfant. Puzzles. Yeah. It's a
little... I don't know. We're being sold a bill of goods on all this. They know. They have known.
Chaz Snyder says, JC, what's your favorite nickname for any Gamecock ever? Mine would have to be Derek Squeaky Watkins. The story behind it's hilarious. Yeah. Doo-doo for Jadeveon Clowney. Probably.
Right.
I mean, now I've given some nicknames to some players that I like. Like Justin, I called Justin Sorensen the Canadian Lumberjack. That's what he kind of reminded me of. The Grinder, Gurminder Thin, same time period.
Yeah.
Lou Holtz at the end recruited a lot of these Canadian players. Robert Pavlovich, tight end, Gurminder Thin, offensive lineman, and Justin Sorensen. Those guys Justin Sorensen and Robert Pavlovich overachieved. Gurminder, the lights were a little too bright for him at left tackle that night. Yeah, go watch Gamecock Central Live. It's good. Chris and Wes do a great job.
Yeah, man.
So, and McJunkin, yes, apparently Tennessee gave that high school back $2 million. John Edwards says, are y'all doing a Saturday morning preview show every Saturday? Yes.
Yeah.
Us, it'll be the tailgate show. Just like it's a musical, so you can come sing along. And now Four Quarter Friday has a Saturday high school recap show as well. That starts at 9. I think Phil and I, if he's still living at the time, you know,
still alive.
I think we're going to try to go a little earlier than that. Now, the tailgate show this year may be a little more like 30 minutes than the 50 we were going.
Yeah.
But we're going to figure all that out. But absolutely, look for an announcement on that. Don't forget, Inside the Gamecast, the preview show on Friday, Thirsty Thursday tomorrow. And we're out of here, folks. This has been the show. Y'all pray for Phil. Holla at you soon.